brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 1 a.m.
Nope. I saw something on the other day when it was on. It was at 1 a.m. Okay. It had a lot of breasts in it and stuff, and that was much better than us.
That was a National Geographic thing on cows, though.
I think it was Showtime, yeah.
Yeah, that was talking about cows. That's different. Okay. All right, so we'll go back to two. Best thing on it, two.
Yes, okay, I can agree with
third
that.
Best thing on it, three.
I'm a real big fan of cow cheese, cow's milk cheese. I think that's cows would beat us. Cheese, because of cheese alone.
Well, I'd rather have cheese than listen to us. Yeah. I mean,
we should do a cheese show. Although, we've got a cheese show coming up.
Although,
right?
To be honest, cheese. If you like cheese.
I missed the cheese show last time.
If you like cheese, this is the show for you.
Yes.
So, this is Made Man Bob. And joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
Hey, I like it down here in the basement. It's like Taco Tuesday with all the with the theme going on.
I wish I had a taco. Of course, I say that every day. Of course, I say that every hour.
I was going to make a dirty joke here, but we're on the radio, so no.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Pleasure to be here in the basement, damp and dark as usual.
Bet he wishes he had a taco.
Yep.
I do.
Good old boy, Justin.
Oh, good morning, Bob. Pleasure to be here.
And good old boy, Hermite.
Thanks for having me. I'm still trying to make taco jokes and I'm editing myself. They don't work when I edit myself.
You wish you had one, though, don't you? Well, our SIB segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, and coffee. And today's show, we've got an interesting arrange. So here's the spirits we're going to be tasting today. From Davies County, we have their straight bourbon whiskey. We have the Cabernet finish straight bourbon whiskey and the French oak finish straight bourbon whiskey. And from Westland Distillery out west, we've got from their cask exchange
program. Westland's
out
west? Really? Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. It's right in the name.
Yeah. Washington State. So, from them, we have from their cask exchange program, we have their from the Lucky Envelope Brewery, the Silver City Brewery.
Envelope.
And.
Envelope. Envelope.
Pecan. Holy's. And the Holy Mountain Brewing Company. And then we have a very interesting one, Abasolo Ancestral Corn Whiskey from Mexico. So, we're going to have Justin tell you all about our sips ratings.
One seep.
I was going to say, guess the accent.
Sounds like somebody beat Speedy Gonzalez with a stick.
Give him a glass.
Give,
water.
Give.
To wash out my mouth.
He went from Speedy Gonzalez to Boris Karloff back to Speedy Gonzalez.
Two seep. Nise, but what else do you have?
Nise?
Well, isn't that nice?
Nise.
Three seep. Interesting. What was this again?
When he said that, all I could picture
what was this?
I could picture Artie Shaw looking from behind.
Very interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Same accent.
Four seep. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
Wouldn't it be quattro sips? I'm just,
Cinco seep.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, me. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Oh, yes. Now we're banned in Mexico.
Yes. See, here's the thing. You worry that, somebody would be offended by it, but it's so horrible that... They just feel sorry for us.
We just lost a whole country.
Banned again.
What can you do?
Is Mexico paying for this episode?
Not anymore.
You were finished.
will allow me to retort.
Okay. Well, let's move on. So,
thank you.
Thank you. So it's about time.
So we're going to have Brent tell us about our first whiskeys.
Thanks, Bob. To pay homage to the rich distilling traditions of Daviess County, Kentucky, Lux Row Distilleries is relaunching Daviess County, Kentucky Straight Bourbon, an ultra-premium family of bourbons. The brand honors Daviess County, which boasts a long history of distilled spirits and iconic distilleries that helped Kentucky earn its reputation as the home of great bourbons. One of the first distilleries in the area, Daviess County Distilling Company, with heritage dating back to 1874, was one of the few distilleries to survive Prohibition. It helped pave the way for nearly 20 other large distilleries that operated in Daviess County by the early 1900s. Today, only three remain, but the county's significance in bourbon history lives on. All three variants are bottled at 96 proof in attractive 750-milliliter bottles with an embossed shoulder that's topped with a natural cork. The Cabernet Sauvignon finish has been rested for 6 months in the Cabernet Sauvignon barrels from Napa Valley, the Napa region in California, for an additional level of complexity, while the French oak finish has rested in French oak barrels for 6 months for a hint of dry oak. The secondary aging in the Cabernet Sauvignon and the French oak barrels adds a nice extra flavor, layer of flavor with a light, slight sweet fruitiness and oaky caramel undertones adds repe. So the first one we're going to be talking about is the Daviess County Straight Bourbon Whiskey. This is 96 proof, 48% ABV. It's non-age stated. It's all of the bourbons from Daviess County start with the same base whiskey, a blend of bourbons, one made from a traditional mash bill containing rye, another from a wheated mash bill. John Rempe, the head distiller at Lux Row Distilleries, says that the combination of the mash bills really sets this bourbon apart. The smooth wheated mash bill and the traditional spicy rye mash bill come together for a balanced taste profile. So this has got a nice coppery color to it. There, it's a little bit on the burnt penny side. The nose, it's basically, I get honey, vanilla, and caramel. It's a very
traditional.
Yeah, very super traditional. Very super traditional. It's a great base. I think this is what this is on the palate. Same thing. I get a nice mouthfeel on the palate. It's a beautiful mouthfeel. I get the honey, the vanilla, a little bit of caramel, and I just have those throughout everything. And it's got rather of a short finish, and it's just a very basic,
Okay, look, I understand what you're saying, Brent. But if you give it a little bit of time in your mouth before you swallow, the spice comes out. I think I taste some of that rye. It's not just the wheat mash bill. The rye comes out. And I'm not saying anything you said was wrong. It's those three notes. It's the honey, the vanilla, and caramel. But the spice, leave it in your mouth for a little bit longer.
You definitely have to do a little swish in Kentucky Chew to get those notes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
And then I get the spice.
If you swish it around, the spice goes
down. And the thing is, I wouldn't say it's a short finish. I give it a medium.
But that's the subject. He's right. If you take a sip and just chug it down in the usual centered style, you just get a very plain, ordinary bourbon. Yeah. But if you give it a little swish and chew, you give it can that get Kentucky more out chew. Of it.
And I'm actually getting a little bit of tobacco now that I feel it. A little more cinnamon spice.
That's the cigarette you had on the break.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer cigars. But a little bit of tobacco. It's good.
It's very pleasant. It's very classic styled, you know, not overly complex, not overly simple. It's pleasant. Easy drinking.
I'd drink this by itself and I'd make a cocktail. Justin, what do you think?
Definitely a cocktail bourbon. I'd like it in old fashioned.
It's been a long time since I've had an old fashioned. I should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think the spice in it would work real well in an old fashioned.
It would. This sweet vermouth really bring out some notes.
That's a Manhattan. Too. Old fashioned doesn't have vermouth.
Oh. My version minor does. Detail. I have sweet and dry in mine. So it's got a big rye note, and I think that'll carry through.
I'm drunken lush.
You know what? Actually, even though he was said old fashioned, I think this would be fine in Manhattan too. Even though I prefer rye Manhattans, this has got enough spice to do it.
Well, it's got the spice. That would definitely work. No, it's a very pretty whiskey.
It's a good base for the rest.
Yeah. I mean, it's you right. know, it's a this good starting here, place for the barrel finishes they're doing, definitely. Right.
This one here is the base, and it has, it doesn't set itself apart from the 20, 30 other base whiskeys that are out there. It doesn't really set itself apart. And I think that's why when we get into the next couple, this is what they've started
Do
with.
We know if this is their own distillate or it's MGP? Purchased.
I don't know. I know Luxco buy, or Lux Row buys from MGP. And didn't recently MGP bought Lux Row, right?
Yes.
Or they merged? How's that? Who's the merged? Probably MGP.
I would assume MGP is the big boy.
Yeah.
And the deep pocket.
Well, there's a lot of them that they buy from. So, you know, other than them. So.
Oh, yeah. Lux Row does purchase from other people. But I don't know.
But they do have a beautiful facility. They're distilling a lot of their own.
You've been there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's real pretty.
And
beautiful.
So they're producing a large part of their own whiskey now.
Yeah, it's over on outside of town near the parkway. It's on. I mean, you can if you're standing in their parking lot, you look across. It's looking Bardstown Bourbon, and them sort of can see each other from across the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Well, good. I wasn't sure that before we talked. I didn't know Lux Row actually made their own. I thought they purchased everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that beautiful facility. I went there and we did a tour while they were building it, and then I've been back. Oh God, probably 3 or 4 times since then. So, really, really nice facility, and they've got a lot of good stuff. So, but yeah, it's it is surprising how much that spice comes out when you give it a little bit of chew,
and from it sitting for a while too. Mm-hmm. You know, when we first took it out of the bottle, it really wasn't there.
When we first poured it, it was like a traditional wheat mash whiskey, very smooth, very caramelly, got creme brulee thing going on. But as it sits and gets some air, the rye mash comes out, and I really enjoy that. And that spice, that doesn't have the citrus of a lot of ryes that I like, but the spice from the rye comes out, the clove, a little bit of cinnamon, and a little bit of nutmeg, and that comes in. So it's a great base. We'll make cocktails.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to be rating the Daviess County Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 96 proof. You'll be giving it 3 sips.
Interesting.
And we'll be back right after this.
All right.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we're talking about some of the bourbon whiskeys from Daviess County. We just finished talking about the Daviess County straight bourbon whiskey. We gave that 3 sips. And we're going to have Harm tell us about the next one that we have coming from them.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Y'all are welcome.
The Daviess County Cabernet finish straight bourbon whiskey. That's Cabernet, not Cabinet. What did you say when you said pronounce the wines earlier?
Oh, my God. He trashed it.
Yeah. I can do very well with mispronouncing things. I'm great at it.
Thank you. So anyway, Cabernet finish, straight bourbon whiskey, 96 pursuit, 96 proof, 48% ABV. It's about the exact same color as the other one, but maybe because I'm susceptible and soft brained, got that. I thought maybe it was redder than the others, but it's really not. I don't see any color from the Cabernet barrel here, but it's got that same coppery reddish thing going on, and. On the nose, this one, even though it has that same base mash bill with the wheat whiskeys and the high rye whiskeys, the wine really comes through here. On the nose, it starts with honey and then the vanilla and the caramel like the others. But now you get some rich red fruit coming out. Well, not rich, but just hints of red fruit, really. I get cassis and a hint of menthol. And I think that's coming from the Cabernet barrels. Yeah. And let the I didn't try it with water, but it's really quite good. And then on the palate, it was very fruity. Mm. And I'm giving it a chew, and a little raspberry note comes out, but the oak is really what's predominating. So I don't know that the wine added a lot to this, but it did add something. I thought it was quite nice. The oak still predominates. Anybody try this with water?
Trying it right now
with water.
Oh, there you go.
The water brings out some oak on the nose for sure.
Oh, yeah. That pops as soon as you put a drop in.
Yeah. I didn't think it really helped the palate much.
I was hoping it would bring more of the wine nose, so it just brings out more of the oak.
Yeah, I think you're spot on your description, Harm. I think it's nice. It adds a level of layer of complexity with the wine and the fruit. The water, for me, just brought a little oak on the nose, but didn't really make a major benefit.
I still get a lot of that good raspberry on the palate.
Yeah, for sure. There.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Brent?
This one here, this one went in the opposite direction of what I like.
You know,
for the people that like that wine, it wasn't the smooth wine to me. I didn't get that smoothness of the wine that enhanced the bourbon. I didn't know if it was the bourbon was too young or the wine was too predominant. But
I don't think it got enough wine finish. But maybe the bourbon is too young.
The combination just didn't seem to work for me with this one. It just didn't come together well enough.
Got it. We have to agree to disagree. I actually like this better than the first.
I know you guys like it, and this one to me, I'm not. I mean, I would rather have the first one than this one with the wine notes.
Don't give me attitude, sir.
I know that's you right. Like a wine finished bourbon.
I love wine finished bourbons.
Angels
don't get me wrong.
For
I mean,
that's
this is some of the things, but this is a whole different finish, though. This one is a sharper finish. It's.
Well, who knows what barrels they use? You know, one of my favorite wine finish, or Cabernet specifically, is the Pritchard Hill from Jefferson's.
Yeah, it's a wonderful whiskey.
But that Pritchard Hill is also $200 a bottle. So that's a different wine, right?
And that is an older bourbon, too.
Yeah, that's true.
A much older bourbon.
That's true.
And like I said, I don't know if this is because of the age, this is a younger age bourbon. Or
the wine barrels they used.
Right. Something just didn't work for me on this. And that's okay. It works for you guys, and it just didn't work for me.
No, I liked it better than the first. Justin, what'd you think?
So the wine note didn't balance with the whiskey. It stood on its own. And the wine note that I detected seemed like it was cheap wine. But I do like the base. That it comes from.
Then you must love this because you only drink cheap wine. I know you.
I only like expensive wine, unfortunately, because I'm a horrible person. But there's good wine for $10 and there's good wine for $900. I just rather have the $900 wine if I'm not paying for it. Somebody else has got their expense account. Yes, bring it on.
Absolutely. What do you think, Maury?
Well, as I said, I agreed with Harm. I thought it was nice. I thought it was a step up from the first one. I like the dimensions that the wine added to it. Well made.
I just keep going back to his comments, you know, a cheap wine.
Bring us some fresh wine. No more of this old stuff.
Like, yeah, okay.
You're a complete bastard and we all hate you.
But, you know.
On that note, do you want to give your notes to us, Bob?
It's definitely a step up. I think it does add a significant layer of complexity to the base whiskey. I think the notes that they have are pretty well on point. Like Harm, I'm getting sort of a raspberry note on it, and I'm also getting on the back palate, I'm getting that little bit of menthol, and I think he's right.
I smelled more of the menthol than tasted it.
I get the menthol after I swallow it way in the back of the palate. You know, and the red fruit is there. The oak came out with just a tiny little drop of water. It didn't really affect the taste, but it did amp up the nose a bit on it. You know, all in all, you know, a solid effort by the folks at Davies County. We're going to be rating the Davies County Cabernet Finish Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Three sips. So we're going to have Maury tell us about our next one.
Thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is the Davies County French Oak Finish, 96 proof or 48% ABV. This expression from Davies County starts with their standard bourbon blend, which is then rested for 6 months in French oak barrels with a hint of dry oak. This one has a color that's very similar to the previous. Again, a sort of burnt copper color. on the nose, this one definitely has some interesting changes on the nose. You get the cocoa, mocha, a little toffee, and definitely some rich oak on the nose. On the palate, it's viscous, it's mouth coating. You get some sweet vanilla, oak, and cocoa, and it has a nice medium finish. I thought this was a step up. This was my favorite of the three. I'm with Brent that I thought that this was a step up over the wine finish.
This was very much a step up for me. This was very well, well produced.
Now, I'm the one disagreeing with you guys here. I like the wine finish better.
You see,
but I will give you, everything you said was right, Maury. The notes, everything you said was there. It was all there.
But
it's just, for me, I like the wine better.
Okay. Right. And for me, I like this one better. It's, yeah. So that's why I said, for each person, dealer's choice, it's different. Right. Yeah. It's different because this one here, the, you know, the cocoa notes and the mocha and the, you know, it's just the oak is like a drier oak. It's like, and it doesn't have that over sweetness to it.
See,
that,
but from French oak, I expect more spice. French oak generally in wine and in whiskey.
This doesn't have
should
spice.
Give you more no. cinnamon.
But forget what you
expect. Right.
Should
exactly.
give you more clove.
What you get though, and what you get though is nice.
Yeah. Right.
It just doesn't meet your
But expectation. My expectation is, so when I'd like French oak is I like French oak finished scotches. And I think with scotch whiskey base, a malt base, you really get more of that spice.
Well, there's a little tingle on the tongue. There's a slight bit of spice. It's just not, like you said, with a French oak finish on a whiskey, it's much more pronounced. Whiskey, yeah.
This is like softened the whiskey. It's like, and it's really enhanced it.
Well, does it get an extra 6 months over the base whiskey, or is it just rested for 6 months?
I think it's an extra 6 months over the base whiskey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, I think it's a big step up from the base whiskey, but I still like the wine one better. But they're both good. They're yeah. very distinctly yeah. different.
I think it's vanilla and chocolate. I think you know, yeah, different strokes
exactly
for different folks.
It's, I mean, they're both very well made. They're both very well done. It's just, it's what you prefer.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. It's
I like the fact that they give us this option. You can taste, here's our whiskey, the way we normally make it, and then here's a wine barrel, here's a French oak barrel, and
now you got choices.
Yeah, and
you
know? I've
now when you
all,
go there.
I've enjoyed all three of them pretty equally. I don't really lean one way or the other. I think they're all, I think the finishes are all both.
He says that about his sex partners as well. It doesn't really lean one way or the other.
Watch it if I were you.
You're
she's in the other room.
You're not supposed to rank them against each other.
Yeah, but these two are, I think, equally well done. And like you said, it's vanilla and chocolate. But we're going to be rating the Daviess County French Oak Finish. 3 cents.
Interesting.
You know, I had to edit myself because there were so many dirty jokes that were right there. And I just couldn't go. You keep doing this to me.
All right, so we're going to move on to our next distillery, and that's going to be Westland. We've done Westland before on the show quite a few times, and we've done their core line. We did the Garyana before it actually came out for general distribution. They were kind enough to send us an experimental sample of it, and we've done the first two of the cask exchanges. So Westland is located in Seattle, and it's another. They were founded in 2010 by Matt Hoffman and Emerson Lamb. Their first release came out in 2013, and their main product line consists of three main expressions, the American Single Malt, the Sherry Wood, and the Peated Oak, and then a bunch of different limited releases like these. So working to create a distinctive American style of malt, they've used combinations of locally grown barley, American peat, which I find still fascinating that they're able to source American peat, and oak from the Pacific Northwest. This is their latest expression from the cask exchange series, the latest three that we're going to have. Their cask exchange is a series of single malt bottlings driven by demand for casks from Washington brewers. Instead of selling the casks to the breweries, they loan the casks to them after they age the whiskey. Then the brewery uses those to age the beer, and then they send them back, and then they finish the whiskey in the cask. So the first one we've got is the Westland Cask Exchange Silver City Brewery. It's 102.4 proof, 52.4 ABV. This is the third expression in their cask exchange program. They worked with Silver City Brewing and sent them five of their casks, which were then filled with their Scotch Ale. The casks were then returned to Westland and filled with their five malt whiskey. So let's give this a try. And this is the one that, in their tasting notes, one of the things they had was creamsicle. And that's, I don't know if it's the power of suggestion, but that hit me right in the very tip of the nose as soon as I got it.
I had to search for it, but you're
right. There's creamsicle, waffle cone, cereal note.
Hint of smoke.
Just a tiny little bit of smoke. And on the palate. Again, they had in their notes Ovaltine. Yeah.
No. I'm getting it. I disagree, dude. I don't get that at all.
I get that mouth coatingy sort of Ovaltine. I get the mocha.
It's definitely malty kind of. It's a malt, heavy malt.
Yeah. Look, I love malt whiskey.
You know what it is? It's kind of like half Nestle Quick and half malted milk. It's like a malted milk ball. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like a Nestle, like a Nestle's malted beer.
It doesn't have enough malt. It tastes like Ovaltine to me.
Ovaltine malted beer.
My parents are from India. I was born in India. We visit all the time.
Really? I didn't know that.
I thought you were a Florida cracker. In India, they don't have this beautiful chocolate quick that I loved when I was in Canada. What we had was freaking Ovaltine.
It was kicked out of
Canada. I actually liked Ovaltine for a while because I didn't know any better. This does not taste like Ovaltine. It doesn't have enough malt for me.
Not allowed to return to Canada.
Yeah. It's too freaking cold there. We visited once back when I was in high school.
Did you know he was Indian? So what are Terrence and Philip actually like? Just wondering.
They don't sound like that. Yeah. Their jaws are attached to their heads.
He's adopted like Ike, you know.
I told my daughter she was adopted the other day. She cried. It was horrible.
With tears of joy, it broke my heart
while I was laughing.
I'm surprised it wasn't a sign.
Wait. Here, let's do this. Honey, you're adopted. There you go. Tears of joy. And then she looked at him and said,
"You're a complete bastard and we'll hate you."
There you go.
Yeah. She learned that from her mom.
So what did you guys think?
Okay, for me, this was too malty and too peated. It just didn't work. It just didn't work for me.
No,
this one,
dude.
You guys like that stuff, and I don't, and so that's why it didn't work for me, and that's okay. It's what you enjoy, and it's what I don't enjoy. It's two different things. I can get all those notes, and if I got the creamsicle on the palate and stuff, but what I got was a chocolate malted peatedness on the palate, and I just wasn't my flavor profile. So for me, this one's a pass.
Damn, I got a keg of this beer coming for you.
Thank you very much.
Really, really disappointed. I don't know what he's going to do with it.
You got a rating? Does anybody else want to chime in?
What the rest of you guys think?
I like this. I can't remember what Ovaltine tastes like. It's too many decades. But the creamsicle and the waffle.
You are crusty and old, so, you know.
I really didn't get the smoke that Brent's complaining about.
It's light.
It's very light.
Brent can smell smoke through a glass bottle in a shopping bag in my car parked this one in Wisconsin. Okay. So buried in cement.
Yeah.
He can probably smell the smoke. You're giving him too much credit.
No. That schnoz does not smell smoke that far away.
Oh, it does. Trust me. I've held bottles up, and he goes, "I smell smoke." I'm like, yeah, okay.
You know what that is, Brent? That's the sign of a stroke. Smell toast?
Yeah.
PTSD.
His left arm's a little tingly. Yeah.
I believe so.
Listen, I thought there was nothing wrong with this whiskey. It's interesting. It's a little different. It's off the beaten path. I think it's well made. And it may not be Brent's profile.
I'm not a fan of beer-finished whiskeys. I've tried a lot of them. Because I don't prefer beer that much.
It helps if you're a beer fan.
Yeah.
Yes,
All the ones we've done before and all the ones we're doing today.
Right. I think this is a beer introduction to whiskey versus a wintry whiskey introduction to beer. I think it's the one way and not the other way. Yeah.
If you're not a beer person, this might not hit you correctly. So.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying beers more, but it's not my thing. I'm not a big fan of beer finished whiskeys, but I'll give this a try. But what's coming up next is the...
Hold on.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
We're not done with this one yet. We have to give this one a rating. Is that okay if we wait?
Please.
Okay, hold on. Let me wait. I'm going to wait a little bit more.
You want more dead air? Give it the rating.
Trust me, there's plenty of dead air.
Because the one that's next is what I'm talking about. That's the one.
So we're going to be rating the Westland Cask Exchange Silver City Brewery 3 Sips. All right.
Brent, they're letting you do this one. This is the beer finish I liked.
Well, I know. This one is the Westland Cask Exchange Lucky Envelope Brewery.
Envelope.
Pecan. Too. You have pecan. Both of them. Pecan. And so the 102.6 proof.
What you doing with that pecan, boy?
51.3%
ABV. Envelope.
Yeah. This is non-age stated, but it's a minimum of 69 months. So if you
the last one, by the way, was 53 months. We didn't mention that. But
right.
You know, I didn't even see 69 months, but now that I see 69 months, it's definitely
now you're
my
more
favorite.
Excited. Do you wonder why?
I'm 13 forever.
The jokes write themselves.
So this is the fourth expression in their cast exchange program. Wesson worked with Lucky Envelope. From Seattle and sent them four used whiskey casks, which then filled with an imperial stout that had previously been aged in used Malbec wine cask. These casks were then returned to Westland and filled with five malt whiskey that ran through their still immediately after a peated spirit run. Oh my God, I think I'm going to hate this, right? It just sounds like it's not going to do it. The color is a nice copper. Nice little copper color to it. On the nose, I get those Danish butter cookies.
Which is freaking awesome.
Oh, my God. The nose is amazing.
Beautiful.
The nose is amazing. I get some jasmine on there. Just a hint of floral on there as well. But on the palate, I get crepes. It's like a nice, beautiful dark chocolate. Get a little bit of fruit. And it's just a touch of smoke on this. You know, I just get a touch
this
of smoke.
This is less smoky than the first
this
one.
This is this is just a beautifully blended, crafted. And I really enjoy this one. Where the last one I didn't enjoy, this one I like overly enjoy. I'm like almost more, you know, so much more than the other one.
I think this is because it's got two more tenths of proof. You're a proof hound. The last one was 102.4. This is 102.6. I think that's why you like it better.
That makes all the difference to me.
I bought Everclear in his, so that probably has something to do with it.
Oh, well, yeah. That explains it.
No, I can't go on about this whiskey enough. And I just said I don't like beer-finished whiskeys.
Well, that's all right.
And
they don't like you either.
No, but this one...
You're contradicting yourself.
The beer was finished in Malbec wine cask, so I've got wine and beer.
There you go.
And
stout.
A stout finished whiskey is
gonna
much
lend,
better
yes,
to, me, 100%. To me than an IPA one.
And I'm not a beer drinker at all.
Well, we'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing some whiskey from Westland Distillery from their cask exchange program. So, what'd you think about it, Justin?
So, I really like this. They were very ambitious.
Who is that?
Trying to
I don't recognize the accent.
say envelope.
Envelope.
There you go.
You know, they tried to do a lot. Envelope? They pulled it off. You know, mixing wine and beer and, I mean, wow, you know?
Well, and I think this is really appealing to the beer people because they are taking it from different breweries. And, you know, and when you're a beer person, you really, and I mean, a bourbon person, a scotch person as well, you really have breweries, you know, or distilleries that you really enjoy more than others.
Of course.
And stuff. So I think you've got a fan base and... Each one is different, so I think this brings a whole different element to the table.
Yeah, this might appeal to people that like all these different things without turning them off by tasting the other ones.
I can see them putting a bottle of this right in the brewery and saying, okay, listen, you can have a shot of this beer and have this...
Beer and a shot
with it, you know?
Good special
Boilermakers.
And things.
Right.
Hey, gives a whole new meaning to that, you know?
Yeah.
I can see it happening, though. Why wouldn't it happen? Why would you not have that happen? If you're collaborating with them, why would you not have your product right in there with your beer and vice versa? And it's like, well, let's make the best of both of these worlds.
Be fun to chime side by side, the beer and the whiskey.
It would be.
I love Maury's idea of the Boilermaker. I would love to do that today after the show.
There you go.
Great.
You're doing it now, you alcoholic fiend.
Yeah, well.
You're a drunken lush.
What are we going to rate this one?
No, not yet. Don't rate it yet. Can't rate it yet. Why? I need to talk about my PTSD. Okay.
I thought we were done hearing from you.
No. Let me say. So, when I was a kid or in middle school and high school, there was a jasmine tree outside my window. It's, we could open the windows in Florida. Even
is this in India?
And went down here. We had a jasmine tree. And it got struck by lightning. That's gone now. But back in the day, we had a jasmine tree in the front. And you'd open the windows at night and you'd smell the jasmine. And my parents, again, the Danish butter cookies, we're from India. They loved their Danish butter cookies with their tea. So this is the Danish butter cookies and the jasmine together. So where the PTSD comes in is I got divorced and moved back to my parents' house when I was 30 for a year. So there's the PTSD right there. But still... This is the Danish butter cookies and the jasmine on the nose. I love this. It's crazy.
I was wondering where you were going with that story, but yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
I lived in my high school bedroom for a year.
What I'm trying to follow here is...
Welcome to this month's Harmeet's therapy session.
Isn't his mother's name Jasmine, so therefore every tree there is a jasmine tree?
Her name is not Jasmine.
You know? I'm just saying.
That's a nickname. Because white folk can't pronounce her name, you call her Jasmine. Yeah, I see how it is.
What is she, Vulcan?
Jasmine.
It's like all I can say. I'll call her Spock then. Right. Couldn't pronounce her first name. Dear Lord.
No, so I love this whiskey, man. This one's a great one.
That's because it brings you back to your childhood. And not you're just still that, living
the,
there.
The floral notes from this beer are excellent. And the Malbec, to me, didn't show up at all.
It was invisible.
All right. Well, we're going to be rating the... which one are we on? I'm trying to remember.
Envelope.
It's the Lucky Envelope. So the Westland Cask Exchange Lucky Envelope Brewery, 4 sips.
That's classified.
Is that right?
Wow. Or envelope. Envelope.
All right. So Maury's going to tell us about our last one from Westland.
I'd be happy to. The next whiskey is the Westland Cask Exchange Holy Mountain Brewing Company, 100 proof or 50% ABV, non-age stated, aged a minimum of 73 months. This is the fifth and most recent release from the Cask Exchange program. The folks at Holy Mountain Brewing Company took fresh port casks and filled them with their American strong beer using Brettanomyces yeast. The beer was allowed to mature for a little over a year before the casks were emptied, and four of them were sent to Westland, who refilled them with their three-year-old Westland single malt. This was allowed to further mature for another 35 months before bottling. So that's quite a long time for a finish. Again, the color is fairly similar.
For some folks, it's quite a long time for a wedding.
Yes, that's true. Color is a beautiful burnt copper, much similar to the others. The nose is really interesting. Café con leche, waffles, cola.
Flat cola.
Well, cola, flat cola, any cola on the nose. The palate is interesting.
I was poor when I was a kid. We could only have flat cola. Couldn't afford any bubbles,
A little bubbles. Less viscosity, but nonetheless, bran muffin, pecan, and mulled wine on the palate. It's got a medium finish. Really interesting whiskey. Like Harmeet, preferred the second one just a little bit more than this. But this is really well done. It's interesting. It's just a different take. And again, I think it's really interesting.
I don't get that cafe con leche, but I think you're pretty right on the waffle cone and the cola.
He grew up with rich parents. He had bubbles in his cola. You know what they had? They had bubbles in their cola.
And ice.
Envelopes.
And we had ice.
Envelope.
Harm, what'd you think?
I like this one a lot. I do like this one. I still like the Lucky Envelope better.
I knew you did.
Lucky Envelope is still better for me, but I like the fact that they're trying the different breweries and doing the different ways of doing this whiskey.
When are they going to do a Mickey's barrel finish? That's
and I'm yes. not, and look, yeah. and Brettanomyces, yes, I've been waiting forever. Brett, as it's called, is horrible in wine, but they go out of their way for it in beer. You sometimes get an infection of Brettanomyces in the wine, and it gives that barnyard flavor. It's like, oh, it smells like chicken poop, and it's horrible. It smells like a barnyard in wine. It's a bad thing. But in beer, Brettanomyces works, and I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
And those farm style, our farmhouse ales are Brettanomyces, they're Brett wine, Brett beers, and it works here with this whiskey. And I'm surprised because anytime I see Brett, I'm like, or not like the person Brett, like Brettanomyces, I automatically think, oh, it smells horrible. But no, it doesn't.
I can see it. His eyes ain't that good.
It's not for me. It's generally not for me. But on here, it works.
I mean, they're tiny. You can't see them.
It does work in this. Nothing's overpowering in this. And so you almost forget what you started with as a base, because this one, again, was very well blended. Not as very well blended as the Envelope, mm-hmm. but again, this one comes across as a very unique and very
it's
enjoyable.
It's unique or it's not unique, dude. Unique is appropriate. Very freaking unique.
Unique, enjoyable.
Ah.
Unique, enjoyable.
There you go. And anyway, the other thing is, there's a hint of lime on the nose, just a hint. And maybe that's part of the cola nose. It's just a hint of lime. No?
Cocoa with lime. Mm.
Grammar Nazi over here. Yeah, okay.
Whatever.
So harm's craving sugar. That's the bottom line.
The diabetes.
The diabetes kicking in, yeah. You want to go in the other room, do a test? I'm just saying. Might want to check that monitor, bud. No, this is lovely. It's.
And this is 73 months as opposed to, so I've obviously just stepped down because it wasn't 69.
Yeah, just over 6 years, so yeah.
I mean, I definitely get, you know, the cola's there, the almonds there, the waffle cones there. I don't know if it's cafe con leche, but I do get a mocha note on the nose.
Do you?
Yeah.
I get more of a mocha on the palate.
Right in the tip, but the mocha on the palate is huge. Pecans.
Pecans.
Yeah. Mulled wine. A little bit of cinnamon. You know, the cocoa notes are huge. Really, really interesting.
I'm stretching for that cinnamon. I mean, it's there's a spice, but I don't know if it's cinnamon.
I can't reach the cinnamon in this. It's beyond
my palate.
It's
not real pronounced. I mean, it's very, very underneath, very, very layered. But, yeah, definitely a very, very interesting.
We could have used bigger samples from Westland,
too. Yes, it could have. Right, we could have used bigger samples for this one.
So. You think you could do a better review if you had more?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Obviously. Sure.
I'd be able to evaluate a little bit better if there's more in my glass.
You know, you'd also be on the floor, so.
That's right.
We're going to be rating the Westland Cask Exchange Holy Mountain Brewing Company 3 sips.
All right, it's between a 3 and a 4 for me, really. It's up there.
Yeah, it's
just it's so close to that second one.
Yeah, it's very close to the second. Very different, though. That's the interesting
part. Completely different.
They're all very different. And every time they do one of these, we get it, and they're very different. I really enjoy that variety.
That is very nice because you get to pick, you know, again, you get to pick and choose.
Yeah.
It's just like what Davies did earlier with the three, with the different ones, you know, same with this one. So.
Yeah.
All right. Is Holy Mountain Brewing Company even available outside of Washington State?
Have no idea.
Probably not.
No idea. Well, we're going to go to our last whiskey of the day, so I'm going to ask...
Do you mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
I would be happy to tell you what this is all about.
Happy.
Happy. So today we're going to talk about Abasolo Ancestral Corn Whiskey. Oh, 86 God. Or 86 proof or 43...
Okay.
Alcohol by volume. Abasolo Mexican whiskey is the first ever 100% Mexican corn whiskey created by the team behind Montelobos y Anchores in Jopoltepec de Abasolo, Mexico.
Okay, so look, I don't think you should do the Mexican accent through the whole thing because we'll just get banned.
Yeah, because I can't understand what the hell he's saying, so.
But really, what's wrong with you?
I'm not a big fan of Montelobos, but Ancho Reyes is fantastic. I don't know if you guys have had that.
I love the Ancho Reyes. Yeah. It's fantastic.
There's a chipotle and a habanero, and there's a, what's the other one?
The chili.
Ancho Reyes, good chili. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
It's a chili-based, like a liqueur. But go ahead.
Abasolo
is distilled from the finest non-GMO cacahuacintle corn, which has
been God you pronounced that.
Cultivated over generations by local farmers in the first ever distillery dedicated entirely to Mexican whiskey. The corn product undergoes a 4,000-year-old traditional process called nixtamalization, in which the corn is soaked and cooked in an alkaline solution, usually a lime bath.
Calcium oxide.
Exactly. Washed and then hulled, uncovering the deepest notes of this ancestral ingredient. This is the same process used to make masa for tortillas.
I love good tortillas.
It's got a tortilla note to the nose.
It does. Nixtamalized corn is more easily ground. Its nutritional value is increased, and flavor and aroma are improved.
I'm all about more nutrition when I am drinking.
Yes.
I get my vitamins from my whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
This is mostly vegetables.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The spirit is copper pot distilled and aged for 2 years in ex-bourbon barrels.
Oh, no. 2 years? Oh,
yeah,
no.
But it tastes so much...
It tastes so much older.
Older... Yeah. Than 2 year corn whiskey, which
the nose is young. It's got a young corny nose.
No, it's not
nose.
Young. It's different.
It's totally corny.
Different. It's corny.
This is
it's not supposed to be.
This is masas. Masa tortillas all day long. Mm. And I've never had a corn whiskey like this before.
It's got like buttery notes.
Mm. Oh, it does. There's buttery notes, the lime note. It's if so they were fruity. Inspired by tequila. Making a corn whiskey and doing it really, really well. What did you think, Brent?
Okay. When you think corn whiskey, you're thinking Kentucky corn whiskey. You're thinking mellow corn. You're thinking other things like that. And the tasting notes that, the tasting notes that I wrote down with this is, Yahasta, try it. Is what it is.
What language is that? That was almost Jamaican.
You know, you has to try it.
It's, I think that's German. You know, they went to Mexico after the war. Just
exactly. But I mean, it's there's influence of Mexico because you have it's. You want to think it's tequila, but it's not.
I don't. You guys say tequila, but that's the nixtamalization is not. Giving me agave notes at all.
No.
But both
it's not,
you guys
it's not
tequila.
Giving me a it's giving me no, it's I think not of tequila agave because
notes, but it reminds me of tequila.
Right. It reminds me of tequila
it
because
me of
the
tortillas and arepas.
Yeah, but because of the Mexican influence. You know, you're thinking, okay, what alcohol comes from Mexico and you think tequila and this is why you have that.
It's definitely Mexican.
It's definitely Mexican.
Can't hide
Mexican.
It's,
right. You cannot hide it at all.
But you guys, I think you're confusing the alcohol with the food. This to me reminds me of Mexican food, not Mexican alcohol. It's not like mezcal. It's not like tequila.
No.
It is that corn note.
No,
is
it doesn't taste anything like
buttery,
tequila.
Sweet,
it doesn't taste anything like tequila.
Fruity.
It just reminds
it
me.
It does taste like Mexican food.
Yeah, it's
right.
I freaking love this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Mexican street corn and honey and on the palate and a, you know, a little bit of leather and black tea and a little bit of spice.
I don't get the black tea, but I get the leather.
Yeah.
At the very end on the finish, just a little bit
sweet
of black
corn,
tea.
Sweet corn, cinnamon, and there's like a buttery note to it. This is so good. What'd you get? You mentioned the nose, Brent. What'd you get on the palate?
On the palate is great. I mean, I got all those. I got, it's like, it was like, if you have a Mexican corn, when you make a Mexican corn and stuff.
Mexican street corn, baby.
Yes, and that's what you get on.
That's
you
what
get
it
that.
Is, yeah, I'm
you get that,
you.
And when you say the arepa, however you want to tell it, however you want.
Arepas. Those are the those. Corn cakes with the
right.
cheese in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
The
so
greatest
that
things ever at the
corn.
Fair.
Yeah. Oh. But this is not, this is a corn that amped up. You want to drink this. All I can say
it's
is you just
Mexican,
want to drink this.
It's Mexican corn. This is, not, this is not Kentucky corn. This is so
you just
good.
Want to go out and drink this. You want to go out and get some and drink it. You ask
the
to
question
try
is
it.
Is it the terroir or is it the nixtamalization
it's the
process?
I think it's the nixtamalization.
It's the way they're doing it. I mean, they're using a heritage breed of corn, which obviously we don't have growing
correct.
Around here.
I think it might
but
be
but it's
both.
The treatment of the corn as well. And it's,
this is a geek's whiskey. You, if you like whiskey, you have to have this in your bar because this is something different.
This is
totally you can do a lot different. With this. You can make an interesting margarita with this. You could make a mule with this. You can do anything.
Well, we're going to be rating the Abasolo Mexican Corn Whiskey 4 sips.
That's classified.
Kudos.
Yep. They did a really great job. Yeah. I would like to taste this. Like, they have other barrels coming? What are they doing?
This is it. So, as far as I know. So
maybe older.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap the subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or whoever talks back to you on your phone to play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes flood on Twitter every day, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You all right? We'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. You can also check out Brent, Maury, and myself on Facebook at The Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of industry enthusiasts and bourbon professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 countries. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work, using their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities. I want to thank our host for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Amdele. Thanks for having me.
We've converted him. Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. A very interesting day in the basement. Some fascinating whiskeys.
Thank you, Justin.
Gracias, Senor Bob.
And thank you, Harm.
Thank you, Bob. This is a really cool show today. Interesting things.
Well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey.
Well, then drink that Mexican corn whiskey. You won't have that problem.
Yeah.
When we saw Mexican whiskey, we went, what?
We were skeptical.
Of us loves it.
I said, there's no way that I'm going to like that Mexican corn whiskey.
It is one of the most interesting things I've seen in the last several years.
Yeah.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.